And now our 10-minute speaker, all the way from Pismo Beach. Very own Pixie.
My name is Kit and I'm an alcoholic. And I am bringing sexy back. Wow. There's a lot of people here. Looks like the streets will be safe for the next hour and a half or so. So, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, and, you know, as a kid, they told me, I used to get in a lot of trouble as a juvenile delinquent, and, they told me that, if you don't straighten up and fly right, you're never gonna amount to anything. And, my run-ins with law enforcement, they'd be like, I've seen 100 guys like you, and they end up in one of two places. Either in prison or dead. I guess we showed them, didn't we? That's right. So, you know, the God I worship tells me to come as I am. You know, come as you are, just the way you are. I'm pretty sure he didn't mean to come up to the podium, you know. Put your feet on the furniture, kick back, put your cigarettes out. I'm pretty sure that's not what he meant. But here I am, and I sure appreciate the fact that I'm not here alone, you know, because there's no way, there was no reason for me to get sober. I love to drink, I don't like to stop, and when I'm drinking, I don't like to sleep, so I'll just leave it at that. I first time I came into this church during a meeting, I was at the Griffin House. It's a sober living for men, and me and about four or five other guys. It was right up the street at the time on Los Barros. Me and about four or five other guys showed up, and dressed pretty much in the same shirt. No, they dressed. We would iron our stuff, you know, get all, you know, spiffy and everything, looking all sporty and everything to come to a meeting and try to impress the girls. Like the girls are coming to AA meetings to look for a man, you know? I guess whatever it takes to get you here, you know, man? It's better that me and them guys were here than back out there. And, you know, I was a mess when I was at that sober living. February 12th, 2009 is my sobriety date. I've been sober ever since. I haven't been sane ever since. I did my best to destroy my life, and by doing that, I did my best to destroy the lives of the people around me. I didn't purposely do that, but I consciously did that. You know, I'm not stupid. I knew what would happen. After multiple arrests for possession of a loaded firearm and controlled substances and open containers and drunken disorders, you sort of get a little, even a guy like me gets a little clue that maybe there's an issue here, you know? By the time I arrived at that, at the Griffin House, I had drank away a wonderful wife in a marriage of 7 years. She took my two daughters and escaped me, basically, because I was just a mess. I was just wild, you know. I thought I could be that rebel that I had been in my teenage years, you know, and that crazy guy on the motorcycle, and have the life of a family man, and climb the ladder at Albertsons, and have all those things, and have this double life kind of thing, you know. And I mean, it works in the movies. You know? I mean, those guys get it all. You know? What did he say? First you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the women, you know? First you get drunk, then you get high, then you go to jail. So, Yeah, that's a funny story. Worst damn day of my life, okay? Here it is right here. I was sentenced to a year in San Luis County Jail, which was not my first. I was separated from my wife at the time. Sentenced to a year in the county jail. Had two wisdom teeth pulled from Novocaine Nelson. He's a dentist in San Luis. Contracts with the county jail. This guy probably knows about him. Sorry, man. In shackles, okay? In shackles, you know, in the carrot outfit, in shackles. And they took me back to the county jail, you know, and it's all dun, 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 like Fred Flintstone or something. And I'm laying in my bunk, you know, and they don't give you anything, you know, in there, the ibuprofen or something. So I'm laying in my bunk. About an hour later, they wake me up. Hey, there's someone, you got a visitor. And I'm thinking, wow, I got to go out there. And it's my wife's divorce attorney. So I signed divorce papers the same day I was sentenced to a year in the county jail and had my teeth pulled. It's year 1999, June 18th, my birthday. Worst damn day of my life, I'm telling you right there, you know. So by the time I got to Griffin, you know, I was circling the drain, you know. There was nowhere to go but up or to continue on down that path of just self-destruction and a waste. You know, there's a movie, and in the movie, one of the main actors says to his son that there's no bigger sin than wasted talent. You know, and I was wasting my life, you know. I was just, you know, just giving it away, you know, thinking that I was just doing what I want and being a desperado and, you know, you can't tell me what to do, what kind of thing, you know, and all of that is, you know, it's macho and it's cool and it's kind of hip until you're doing that at 45, you know, until when they book you in the county jail, the young guys are using slang terms that you don't even recognize no more, you know. The biggest indignity, though, man, was the last time I went to jail. I went to jail to clean up wreckage. In sobriety, I went to our jail here. It was a warrant from Los Angeles County for exhibitionist speed on my motorcycle and no insurance, you know. And it was 22 years old. So believe you me, if they want their money, they'll catch you, okay? I went to jail here, and then they shipped me down to L.A. County Jail for 58 hours and stuff, but the most embarrassing part of it is they didn't even put me in with the hoods and the tough guys or anything anymore, because I'm 42 at that time. They put me in the main jail dorm with the old guys, you know, and I was like, damn, you know, this is what my life has become, you know. Shit, you were arrested, you were rescued, kid. So by the time I got to Griffin again, I was ready to try anything, you know. And if you wandered into an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, you didn't accidentally get in there. You know you meant to be there, you know. We were talking about it at dinner, you know, that, my friend said, are all people who are alcoholics, have they all been to jail and stuff? And I'm like, no, not all of them, you know. Some of you lucky ones, you know. But I didn't just need to learn how to live sober and clean. I needed a plan for life. Because the life I had been living all those years, I knew how to get my hustle on, okay? I knew how to survive on the streets. I knew how to do my time in jail and not, you know, not whine and cry about it. You know, hey, I got caught. You did your job better than I did mine. I'm there it is. But when I decided to change my life and I couldn't, I was tired of the life I had and I had no one to blame for it but myself, Alcoholics Anonymous was there for me. You know, I did my best when I walked in the rooms at Alcoholics Anonymous to get y'all to kick me out, you know, talked about all the weed I smoked and all the criminal activity I did, pretty much like I just did. But you people wouldn't kick me out, you know? You wouldn't tell me to leave and not come back, you know? I found out about 9 months later, you can't. That you're supposed to keep it, you know? You're supposed to welcome anybody who asks for help, you know? Even if his name is Kitsy. Griffin laid the foundation. It showed me how to be a man again. You know, Bull had us picking up trash at the Strawberry Festival. Had me walking in the Walk for Life in the Tascadero. You know, we went up there at midnight and walked till 4 a.m. It's the night shift, they call it. And considering we were all tweakers, it was good for us, you know. Got all jacked up on coffee and I'm walking. I did like 22 laps sometime. The Mesa Group is my home group. And I was fortunate enough, I think everybody says this, but I was fortunate enough that when I came in, there were some old-timers there that were just incredible human beings. Doc, and Big Jack, and Teacher Bob, and some of the ladies that, Diane, you know, I'm here because I'm not all there. You know, they let me know that it didn't matter where I came from, whether it was Yale or whether it was jail, didn't matter what I had done before. If I wanted to change my life, I was welcome there, and I always would be welcome there. And that was a whole lot different than from how I was living on the streets. You know, you run out of money and try to go to the, you know, the dope band's house, and I'm sorry, but you're not welcome. You walk into the bar and say, yeah, give me a double, you know, Jack Daniels and stuff. I ain't got no money. You know, see how far that gets you, you know. In AA, all you guys ever really ask for me is to have the desire to get sober and to keep coming back. You know, I've been sober 10 years and the blessings just keep coming and keep coming. For the first 5 years, I worked for a guy who followed me home from a meeting and said, hey, you want to work a day? And that started me the next 5 years learning how to climb trees, you know? Now I have my own business and I get paid to climb trees just like I did as a kid, you know? If I could get somebody to pay me to throw rocks, I'd have it made, you know? The steps freed me from the guilt and the shame that I drug in here with me for betraying that wife and for destroying my little girl's home life. You people and my sponsor helped me to become a man of integrity, a man of value, a man with empathy who cares about his fellow man, who stands up for what's right and tells somebody if it sees something wrong, okay? Our world today is in a terrible state in a lot of respects, and you know, us men are supposed to be the first line of defense for those that are weaker than us. And for 28 years, I wasn't able to defend anybody. So in sobriety, I'm glad I've been given this chance. In sobriety, I'm glad I've been given this gift, I'm amazed that I'm at a church up at the podium, you know. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks for listening.
Let's give Kid another round of applause.